Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast, or should I say the Swap Masters cast. You are tuning in to hear three geniuses who looked at the lay of the land at 2:55 Central Time, 3:55 Eastern Time, whatever the fuck time it is in the time zone where Sammy lives. No one knows. We swapped.
Best coast, bro.
Come on. Worst coast. The worst. Absolutely unbearable. So we are here. We're going to do a cash review of our teams. Would have been a much different entity, would have been a much different program that you guys are about to hear if I did not text Sammy and Nate at 2:45 Central Time in the afternoon. You guys got to swap to Kelsey because they both had to swap to Kelsey. I did not have to swap to Kelsey, but I chose to. We are going to get into that and more over the next 45 minutes. How are we doing, lads?
We're doing great.
But amazing. To be clear, I made this swap not because of you. You
totally.
Text us
yeah,
swap
totally.
Every week. Every week totally. You text us
yeah,
to swap.
Totally.
This is
Everyone
probably one
you.
Of the first times I've ever swapped. And it was because the value had shifted so much.
Well, you were dead after the new
No,
games.
I wasn't because of Bourne. I had Bourne and Ford.
I will just say, you know, Nate won't take an L. He'll take all his W's, whatever. Davis, I love you, bro. You are the swap god. I bow down to you, and my account is now full because of you. Thanks, man.
Well, this
appreciate
just in general, this was a fascinating. So let's just start from the beginning. This was I do not actually ever remember a slate we played like this where the actual optimal when you ran it at, you know, 5 minutes before lock included all but one late game player. So the optimal before lock, if you aggregate, establish the run, 4-for-4, Cardi stuff, really whoever you choose to use, but you know, the aggregate optimal was, depending on who you waited, it was either Jordan Love or Deshaun Watson, which is a huge, huge pivot on the slate, because if you played Watson, you probably just lost. Actually, I don't know. Maybe you could have swapped to Kelsey and still won, but it was Jordan Love or Deshaun Watson at quarterback. It was Isaiah Pacheco, Kenneth Ford, and Jerome Walker at running back, including one of your flex spots. It was Cooper Kupp, Josh Palmer, and Marquise Brown at wide receiver, Luke Musgrave at tight end, and the Kansas City Chiefs defense. Obviously, the number one thing that sticks out there is eight of those slots were in the afternoon games, but that is before factoring in the most important thing of the slate, which was that DK Metcalf, highest team total of the slate, Seattle Seahawks, was a true game time decision. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, career high in routes, career high in yards last week. Obviously he would have been a stone lock. I think our friends at ETR ended up projecting him for 13.5 once they moved DK Metcalf out. I can fact check that. But how you chose to play the slate really based on, did you want to risk it with Deshaun Watson? Were either one of you two convinced enough that Watson was the play? Like, I never wanted to play Watson because my plan the whole time was I wanted to play Geno, which I did end up doing. I started at noon with Jordan Love, which my God, did that guy suck out at the end. But what were kind of your guys' thoughts on the DK Metcalf questionable thing or doubtful thing heading into the slate?
So I kind of was operating under the assumption that DK Metcalf was going to play. And so I really didn't leave myself a ton of room I didn't leave like the slot open, like, oh yeah, it's JSN season, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, ended up making a pivot, obviously, when that news came out. But as far as the Deshaun Watson thing, when I always had Geno, like I had Geno, and I just, obviously Watson projected really well. And it, you know, you don't want to be like hindsight analysis, Captain Hindsight 2020, but like the systemic risk with Watson was so great. We were talking about it via text early in the day that like, we have no idea if he can throw 10 yards downfield or not. And if he can't, this is, you cannot ride in cash games with this man. You just can't do it. Like I think Nate said it verbatim. The projections are not quantifying his injury risk properly. And so if you,
it was, that was the obvious thing. I mean, so I think I texted you guys at like 8 o'clock this morning and was like, there, this slate is going to come down to two things, what you're going to do with Deshaun and what we're going to do with DK. And I was on Deshaun Watson just from a pure projection standpoint. And then last night I was just doing more research on like, how bad was his injury? It was a weird thing over the last couple weeks.
Nate's Wikipedia-ing AC joints and stuff
and,
like
and,
this.
And literally there was like reports of him in a sling earlier in the week, you know, and to the point where it's like,
PJ Walker was taking reps in practice on Wednesday.
I know. And so I just got to the point where I was looking at this projection and just saying, this is not baking in the downside risk. Obviously with all of these quarterbacks, whether it be Love, whether it be Russ, whether it be all these under 6K guys, I think there were some natural efficiency risk that you bake in. But with Watson, you were taking on a massive amount of injury risk where the projection just didn't seem to be including that at all.
Well,
all the
projections
assume
they can't perfect really, right?
Yeah. You would have to manually dock it because so no projection can take it in. And so I just said at one point this morning after reading all those, I just said, it doesn't make any sense in cash for me to take on this additional risk with Watson.
Because the upside risk for non-Lamar, Mahomes, Hurts, Allen quarterbacks, it's really, I mean, I guess you could put Fields in there too. And I almost played Fields last week. I just think the upside with guys outside of those five guys, what Watson's best case is what, 32 probably? Like that's would be his best range of outcomes here, which is a great score. And you probably crush everyone with that score. But most of the time from quarterback, you're getting 18 to 24 points. That's just where their distributions fall a huge percentage of the time. But when you start to introduce the downside risk of either he spends the entire game handing off because they're just beating the doors off the Colts, he can't throw down the field, all that stuff. Now, obviously, I wasn't projecting in-game risk, but what I decided was, one, I did not think DK Metcalf was going to play. And I also maybe, if it was a different slate and I would have had to have locked more early game players, I looked at a Gibbs lineup where I would have had to have done this, where I would have been fine just playing JSN and just saying, I'm just going to run it. They have the highest team total of the slate. He ran the same amount of rounds as Lockett last week. I think he's good. I think he's probably a little bit underpriced for his talent level, yada, yada. So that was something I was open to. But in the end, I just decided, look, I'll play Jordan Love for now. And if nothing changes, I'm fine with that decision. But what I preferred to do was leave swaps open so that I could get a re-optimized lineup with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, which I did. I actually, the team I ran ended up being the 3 p.m. aggregate optimal with Ford locked and all late players because Jerome Ford was the only guy that I played in early games.
Yeah, and this was a really unique slate in that sense because it really lended itself to swapping. Like there were so many great games in the afternoon, not in the morning. And frankly, this was one of the tougher cash weeks, I thought. You know, there wasn't like just one team that was like, oh yeah, this is generally really, really optimal and everyone's going to be a 2v2 or a 3v3. Mm-hmm. Like it was really wide open. And so to have your options open, take advantage of a late swap like that, I mean, it's something you should be looking at. Davis, you overly swap, but today, man, this is your Super Bowl.
This slate was built to be played that way.
And I do think the overall slate changed in between noon at lock and 2 o'clock because everybody was thinking DK was like 70 to 80% to play. It was pretty much assumed that he was going to be in. And I think that was surprising news that like, I can't remember the last time we had surprising news like this that made it so clear cut that the optimal build was completely different than what everybody locked in at noon. Like not getting JSN. I mean, if news came out last night, JSN would have been 80% owned. JSN would have been 80% owned if news came in last night. And he was 14%.
I think that's 14%. Right. But the non-JSN optimal was it was Jordan Love, Isaiah Pacheco, Kenneth Walker, Jerome Ford, Cooper Kupp, Marquise Brown, Josh Palmer, Luke Musgrave, Chiefs defense, which still would have left you the swaps.
But people didn't do that. Like looking at these, the massive $25 double up, the top two trains didn't have JSN. The top two trains just didn't swap into JSN at all. It's like people didn't pivot onto this late news.
Because the swap keeping Cooper Kupp left a bunch of salary. The easiest swap to do was just a straight go from Palmer to JSN and then up from Love to Geno, and people didn't want to leave the $700 in salary.
Well, and also a lot of people had Ford in the morning who did really well. And so
they were just,
I have my whole lineup to go. It was optimal before the slate. I have 18 from Ford. Like I'm golden. So they stuck. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's right. So
whereas if you're a genius like me and you play Wandale Robinson and Josh Jacobs in the morning, you're like,
you played so bad, man. Did you play bad?
Playing Wandale,
you played so bad.
Wandale was a bad play compared to JSN.
I'm literally Wandale's biggest fan. And we're going to talk about Wandale later. Cause I have him in a tournament.
I didn't have $100, man. I literally played the Patriots defense. There was no $100 to have.
Well, you guys both played Josh Jacobs instead of playing Isaiah Pacheco, which I don't.
Mm-hmm. No. I had Pacheco. I played him instead of Ford. I didn't play Ford. I didn't like Ford.
Oh my God. Ooh, how so good
Sammy
did
played
you
bad.
Run?
Sammy ran so good.
Yeah, you played so bad.
I do think Jacobs over Pacheco wasn't a huge mistake. There was five running backs I thought you could have flopped that were in play.
I thought Jacobs was in play, but he was five of the five guys for me personally. I thought it was Walker number one, Pacheco number two, Ford number three, Gibbs number four, Jacobs number five. And I went back and looked this morning at a Lamar Jackson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Michael Mayer team that actually I think would have beaten the Kelce team, which
yum.
No, the Lamar team was 144. That was the third most duped team in the.
Oh, I beat that train 146.16.
Because that was the Lamar, Musgrave, Zay Flowers, Marquise Brown. Kenneth
Walker. I would not have played Zay Flowers. I would not have.
Yeah, yeah.
They also played Bourne on that team.
Let's rein it in a minute and like tell people what happened. Like,
okay, so this is what happened. This is the team that I ended up playing: Geno Smith, Kenneth Walker, Jerome Ford, Tyler Lockett, Marquise Brown, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco in the Chiefs defense.
I don't see how you play Marquise Brown and tell me that I played bad. You're a fish.
I do gotta learn about the Hollywood Brown thing because now he's not even getting the prayer yards. You know, Dobbs is just like running on third and 17 instead of giving Marquise Brown the prayer yards. Like every single week, I have the projections pulled up right now. Hollywood Brown, you know, obviously like he is the second points per dollar value. I mean, we gotta stop.
Manual
override,
bro. I'm gonna
go back to that well next week, I'm sure.
Yeah,
because Kyler's coming back, dude. He's gonna be a value for a bit. I played a 3v3 from that team. So I went Love, Jacobs, and Bourne over Geno, Marquise, and Pacheco.
Yeah, right. I mean,
I was really high on Bourne.
I think Bourne was bad because it kept you from the swap, not bad in and of himself, but it just kept you from the swaptions in the later games.
All right. Well, here's my ass eating team. So I started off with Geno at QB and then Jacobs, Pacheco, and Kenneth Walker at running back. I just didn't like Ford, man. Like I know, like I don't want a timeshare back. I'm not here to play timeshare backs. And indeed, he got scavenged twice by Kareem Hunt.
He only got scavenged once by Kareem Hunt. He hurt his ankle, and Hunt
he was
got
out
the
third
one
quarter.
In the end.
The
well, I knew that would probably happen, but you know the reality is
totally. Sammy, literally the number one comments I get on this show when people talk to me about it are that guy Sammy runs hotter than the fucking sun. They're just every week you find a way to run so good.
We do in fact love to see it. You know what I mean? I just didn't want a guy who was splitting time, man. Like I know he was like fine in the projections, but it's just like.
But he's the good side of the timeshare,
dude. They almost split snaps last week.
But you know the Hunt had a real injury that almost didn't play.
I know that, but like you also have like boots on the ground. It's entirely possible that, you know, he signed 2 weeks ago that his involvement gets more and more, and they actually like Hunt more than Ford. Like
no. This is a bad take. Ford at his value, I think was the best running back of the slate.
Well, I disagree, but I thought he was fine. I just didn't want to do it. I wanted a bell cow back like Josh Jacobs, who ended up getting pulled, was asked the whole game, and came off the field on multiple third downs since I was watching this game. So
the thing that I think is just, I understand why you guys did it, and I don't think it's actually playing bad. But Jacobs for me is just like, what was the difference between Jacobs and Jahmyr Gibbs, really, to you guys?
Very big difference. Jahmyr Gibbs rushing workload. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, there was a chance that he wasn't the main, like with Craig Reynolds, there was a chance that Jahmyr
the
Gibbs
last game with Craig Reynolds and no Montgomery, he got 18 rushes.
For sure. Yeah, I thought Gibbs was a good play. I just felt a lot better in Jacobs' role that he was going to just be out there for all three downs, that he was going to get the lion's share. He was playing a shite ass defense, right? There was a distinct possibility that Detroit got run, and they did. Obviously, that leads to Gibbs' catches, but I just thought there was way more of a chance that like Jacobs could get a bonus. I just don't think that's really in Gibbs' range. I liked his goal line role. You know, if you get down to the 1 yard line for Detroit, you do have to worry about Craig Reynolds in that situation.
You got to worry about all kinds of fuckery. The Lions are in the Kansas City Chiefs bucket of like the Brock Wright scoring, James Mitchell scoring. I'm with you guys there.
I know Jahmyr Gibbs and Jacobs are even comparable. Jacobs literally has like one of the most solid workloads in the league.
Yeah, but he's on this super shitty team and he's got no efficiency. He's lost all of his efficiency.
Oh, like Jerome Ford's on a great team. I mean, come on.
Hey, dude, there was like 80 points in that game.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Gardner Minshew goat, right? Like
$2,000 cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, that is a thing. But so I didn't want to play Ford. That's the bottom line. I played.
Well, ultimately, the reason why I didn't like the Jacobs thing was that it made it much harder to get Tyler Lockett, which was what.
Well, I didn't need no Tyler Lockett because I played Wandale Robinson.
Yeah. I can't allow this. When I look at this team,
The Wandale thing is bad.
Let me just say the team and then roast me. Okay.
He also played Deontay freaking Johnson.
Well, that was a swap, mate.
Yeah.
I'm talking about my original team. So the original team is Geno. The three running backs are Jacobs, Pacheco, and Kenneth Walker. I played Cup, Josh Palmer, and Wandale, Luke Musgrave, and I had no money left. So I played the Patriots against a actually low-key, not very good
Bills offense. I thought this was fine. People might think that was bad. I actually thought that was fine. I did that on a couple GBP teams.
Yeah, but when Jacobs and Wandale bricked out in the morning and Ford did really good, it was time to swap. And so I swapped off of Pacheco, and I swapped off of Cup, and I swapped off of Musgrave. And instead, I put in Herbert at quarterback. I couldn't find the 300 to get to Mahomes. I really wanted to do that. But I went to Herbert, Travis Kelce, JSN, and Deontay Johnson. And now I have a lot of money in my account. Things are good.
Honestly, I feel bad that I got you out of jail with this swap because I think you should have gotten punished for playing this. I feel pretty strongly because this is what I know. I know had you not played Wandale and you would have had the slot, you would have not swapped off Cooper Kupp. If you were not in jail with the 3 points he got, you would have been like, nope, I'm sticking.
That's why Wandale was sharp, man. That's why Wandale was sharp. It leads you down the correct road.
Everyone listening to this right now is that he can't keep getting away with this Breaking Bad meme. Every single person.
The guys who sent me 109s this week, they are not happy.
I did want to say that people have been listening, and obviously I've been eating it. I lost the last two weeks, and last week I played bad. So people were anxious to get in. I got five.
The buzzards were circling around Davis Maddox's account.
I got five 109s this week. I think I beat them all by like a combined 200 points. Like some of the worst lineups I've ever seen ran out against me. It was
the windmill.
The windmill. Yeah, I thought I was surprised actually to see in the end that Kelce didn't end up that popular, because like I said, I'm sitting there at the end of the 1 o'clock games. We get the news that DK Metcalf is out. So I'm like, Yahtzee. Like, I wanted to play JSN the entire time. There weren't a lot of clean swaps to do it. Like I said, you could go down from Palmer to JSN, but then you had $700 of salary left when you moved from Love to Geno. In a weird way, it would have been more comforting had Geno been 6,500, because then your brain is just like, oh, it's fine. Like, I leave $100 of salary all the time, you know?
Right, right.
So I clicked re-aggregate, and the top lineup was what I ended up playing, because Lockett and JSN got huge boost to their projections. Marquise Brown being 46% owned in the massive $50 double up is just such an indictment of all of us out here. Like,
yum, yum, yum.
I guess the other, I mean, the thing
I had,
was,
I
though,
had Marquise, I had Marquise on my pre-swap team. So I almost,
you fish. I played Marquise Brown last week.
I did too.
And I was what? I'm gonna learn my lesson here. Not to be results oriented, but
I had Lockett.
We literally talked about this last week, how he's such a shite cash gameplay. Like, you look at the median projection and it's fine, but it's just like, he is not the type.
Yeah. But yeah, Kelce in the massive $50 double up only ended up being 13% owned. Now, the team that I played, the 146.16, huge train, because obviously there was a bunch of people that just had Ford in the morning and did the same thing I did, and they just clicked optimize and they got the Kelce over Cup team. Looks like about 15 people played my team. And the massive $50 double up. So I guess it wasn't a massive train, but it was a pretty big one. And probably some people had this team also with the Ravens defense in the morning instead of the Chiefs defense, both of which I think were totally acceptable and good. And those people beat me because the Ravens defense was a really good play.
So should we like talk about that we were probably lucky that Kelce had the insane smash game and Cooper Kupp caught two balls?
Well, of course.
Yeah,
we did get
very lucky. We swapped off of Kupp onto Kelce to get JSN and Lockett.
Well, you guys had to, because you were way behind. I didn't have
I wasn't behind, Davis. I had
I had Kendrick Bourne.
Points at 4-4.
Go in your computer and go put in your lineup and run a sim with you having 5 points from Josh Jacobs and everyone else having Walker and Pacheco left to go against you, and Gibbs teams. Gibbs teams were ahead of you by, even if they have some shitty play and you have Kendrick Bourne, any team that played Gibbs over Jacobs was way ahead of you too.
No.
Bourne didn't have 30. He had 16. Like, no, Bourne was good, but 17. I promise you, you were not ahead. I truly promise you were not. Your lineups did not at 3 o'clock.
Nate, you're arguing with the swap king right now. I don't think you should be.
No, Davis is not the swap king.
I'm definitely not the swap
king. Works out.
I'm definitely not the swap king.
I swap once and it does work out.
Definitely not the swap king, but I do know that had Nate not swapped, it would have been one, it would not have worked out. He would have gotten smashed, but it would have been a bad spot. Now, the reason why I felt comfortable with the Kelce team actually had nothing to do with wanting to fade Cooper Kupp. I was like pretty deathly afraid of Cooper. I think he had a 25 yard catch on the first drive, and I was like, oh, I've seen this movie before.
I was terrified.
It was because the lineup was basically, okay, you can use your punt slot on Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's projected for 11, or Luke Musgrave, who's projected for like 8.6 or something. And I was like, you know what? It just really feels like that is a poor use of the $50,000 of salary that DraftKings gives you to spend that on Luke Musgrave instead of JSN. It felt like a pretty big felt bad. Honestly, it did. I didn't want to play Musgrave the entire time. I actually wanted to play the lineup Kincaid? The lineup I wanted to save, I didn't end up having, it wouldn't have mattered because it was all late, was Geno and McBride over Love and Musgrave. Which, again, would have been fine. I think McBride had, four catches, but would not have been fine if it had Cooper Kupp. But that was really, I think, honestly, the big key of the slate ended up being what did you want to do at quarterback and tight end? Because those are not huge decision spots and everyone just eats the chalk. But I think we haven't had Kelce on that many main slates either, too.
No, and he's also been kind of pedestrian. It's a tough click to spend 7K or whatever it is on Kelce, who's, just the Chiefs have not been great. And they were great today.
Well, you know why they were great.
Because Kelce the ball.
No, they got Hardman back. Pat was feeling himself, dude. You're telling me it's a coincidence that Pat's best game of the year came when they got his buddy back in the lineup? I don't think so.
Nope, not arguing. Not arguing.
I actually think the key difference in what they're doing is they are playing Rice a ton. I think Rice is playing a lot more, running a lot more routes on obvious passing situations. And look, Sky, Sky made one good catch. So and MVS scored a long touchdown. Yeah, do you guys got anything else interesting? Was there any other interesting element of cash today? Maybe you guys were both not into Lockett, not knowing.
I was into Lockett. I just I thought Lockett was a good play, even if DK played. I wasn't into JSN unless I knew DK wasn't going to play. I thought there was a lot of wish casting on JSN. Coming out of the bye, he got more workload. It's like. I think JSN would have been a bad play if DK would have been in, which was why
I think he would have been a slightly bad play.
I liked Bourne early, because Bourne was I know at 4-4 he's going to get volume. I know he's got upside, and then everybody else is waiting to wish cast on this guy.
Did you consider
I thought there was an 80% chance that DK was going to play. So I actually thought the Bourne play was sharp leverage on the people who were hoping to play JSN. But what I didn't realize was that no one was going to play JSN once the news came out.
DeMario Douglas for, what was he, 3,300?
No.
No.
Heck no.
No.
Six targets. He had one less target than Bourne.
Oh, I know he got it, but I'm saying you couldn't have projected that going in.
Yeah. Can we just not bury the lead of this slate and that I finally got to play Diontae Johnson in cash? I mean, come on, man. Goated.
Yeah, I should have played literally anyone over freaking what's his name over Hollywood Brown. Watching also the Seahawks, they just literally cannot score points in the second half of games. It's so bizarre watching their offense, and they get to third and three and then they just whelp it every time.
Yeah, they've been really kind of a struggle bus this year, and I didn't want to be overexposed. I thought Lockett was a fine play, but I wasn't oh gosh, that 6K wide receiver, gotta have Tyler Lockett. I was just okay, Lockett buries me, he does. But the guy literally has no yak ever. So he's not a guy you get that scared of. Whereas JSN, man, JSN can do it. Good job, kid.
Yeah. All right. Let's do tournament teams. I had a bunch of good ones today, but no Donta Foreman. So no real sweats, honestly. This is the team that I played in this was the large red zone. So this is the one with, 6,000 entrants or whatever. I did a Lamar stack with Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews was 21%, which I was a little surprised by that. I guess tight end was just brutal.
Super surprised.
Yeah. And I think, a lot of people did two tight end. Double tight end won the Millie Maker, actually, with
a lot
Dalton
of people
Kincaid.
Did double tight
end. Dalton Kincaid, by the way, got to know ball to play Kincaid. Yeah. So this was what was it? It was Lamar Jackson at quarterback with Mark Andrews as the stack. I did a double bring back with Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Really looked pretty bad in the first half, not gonna lie. It was looking at this wow, did I just waste a Lamar Andrews game? And these two combined for 24 receptions combined. So a lot of points there. I played Jerome Ford on this team. Sammy, I did play Wandale Robinson on this team, but what allowed this team to happen?
You play him in a tournament, mate.
He was 6% owned. No, Jesus. He wasn't. He was 15% owned. So he was.
Oh my god, that's tough.
You know, I probably wouldn't have played him if I would have thought he was 15%. I thought he would have been a little bit lower than that. But again, I don't really care because it got me to the stuff that I wanted, which was the double bring back with Lamar and Andrews. This team had JSN. This team also, I played Kenneth Walker on every team. I just did not care. I thought
he was
this
good
was,
chalk.
I thought this was a Raheem Mostert spot, basically. I thought this was the oh, you turn the cards over, he's 55% owned in the Millie Maker, and then he gets there. I mean, look, he got 16 points running about as bad as a guy can run. I mean, the Seahawks just spent the entire second half whelping around. They got down to the 1 yard line and didn't give it to him. Like, it just was, it can't really run much worse than that.
His workload, he might have had the best, if I'm like missing somebody, he might have had the best workload of the entire slate.
Well, I bet Gibbs had more expected points because he got so many targets, but
Gibbs has run out at the end. Gibbs probably had 15 expected points within the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. But again, I mean, the Lamar Andrews stuff, it does just remain like one of the skeleton keys. Like those guys, the week, I mean, how many points did they combine for? They combined for like 60 points, basically. You know, I mean, they're absolutely, I mean, and the same is true of Mahomes, Kelsey. The team I played in the spy, I played a Mahomes Rice team, but no Kelsey in the spy. Not as interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's still good, but not as good. I mean, I felt this was one of those slates that, like, sometimes on GPPs I feel like I'm really just guessing, right? Like I'm looking at all these sims and stuff and I'm trying to come up with some combination of like ball knowing takes. But when it's like a good spot, I think, for the Ravens to score a lot, or a good spot for the Chiefs to score a lot, and there are like five just locked in really good running back plays, it's a lot easier. So there we go. Sammy, right. You're up.
Yeah. So my spy team, it's close to greatness, but we didn't quite get there. I played a Stafford double. So Stafford, Cup, and Nacua. Cup came in 35%, but Nacua was 8. Stafford was 8.
Yeah.
Nacua ended up blowing up, obviously. He went 8 for 154. My running backs, I ate the Kenneth Walker chalk, and I played Donta Foreman. Smash show.
Unreal. Yeah.
Yeah. But then the rest of my lineup just ate complete ass. I played Darius Slayton in this lineup.
Dude, that's worse than Wandale. That's a lot worse than Wandale.
No, it isn't.
Hyatt was the Giants deep guy to play.
I think Hyatt or Slayton would have been okay in tournaments. I thought Wandale was the only one that was not playable in tournaments.
I played Hyatt in the spy as well.
I thought Hyatt was good.
But Slayton runs decent routes too with Hyatt. So like I think either one of those guys were okay.
Yeah, I played Meyer at tight end, so I had the Meyer coming back on Foreman. Meyer was 16%.
What was McBride owned? Cuz that's probably a leak. If Meyer's 16 and McBride was like 2.
Yeah.
That's probably
I just wanted the little correlation. I wanted the Foreman and a bring back. And then I played at my flex spot, I played Christian Watson, who just cost me ungodly sums of money on a Prize Picks and Underdog, just thousands of dollars if he can get over 51.5 yards. He didn't even come close because he sucks and Jordan Love sucks. And I played the Ravens defense at 11% in this lineup. So we did okay, but nothing to write home about.
I'm going to guess that the Sims would have hated the mayor play. McBride was 5% on. He actually did way worse than I thought.
What was interesting is I had the opportunity to use George Pickens as the bring back on the double, and I decided not to. Pickens ended up smashing. I just wanted some Christian Watson in my life. I thought, man, it's Denver. You know, this guy gets all sorts of deep targets, like, you know, all this shit. And yeah, it's just even Green Bay is so bad they can't score against the Denver Broncos. I mean, I should have just taken that into account. Poverty franchise.
Correct.
Yeah.
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 All right, Nate. This is what the people want. They look forward to
it. Here it is, baby.
Week.
Here it is. Turn it over.
So similar to last week, I thought it was a crappy slate. So I tried to go kind of onslaught again. So I had a Chiefs onslaught. So I went with Mahomes, Pacheco, Kelsey, and Tony with the Chiefs D.
Tony instead of Rice.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, obviously,
maybe Tony is trying dead to get the bonus. Like
Tony gets like specific plays called for him near the red zone that like he easily could have had a touchdown and outscored JSN.
He could score twice. He can't get the bonus, but he can score two touchdowns.
Yeah, but so I just wanted Chiefs players. I wanted to just stack it in a way that I knew no one was going to. And then I brought it back with Palmer from Chargers as kind of the bring back. And then I filled it out just super chalky with Kenneth Walker, Marquise Brown. And then a play that I thought was going to be more chalky because of the Deshaun play was Elijah Moore. But
Elijah Moore, dude, that guy stinks.
No, dude,
he gets like a bazillion opportunities per game. He gets like 9 touches per game and has never topped 40 yards.
Nate, this was the correct spot to play Hollywood Brown. So hat tip to you.
Yeah. So ended up doing all right, obviously, because of Mahomes and Kelsey and Pacheco and Walker obviously didn't hurt. And then Palmer ended up being the only Chargers player you really wanted exposure to. So this lineup did actually pretty well in the red zone.
What was Palmer owned in cash?
Palmer was owned in cash.
He was on the OG optimal, and a lot of people didn't swap. I had Palmer. You guys know how much I hate Josh Palmer.
Palmer was 29% owned in the $25.
So, but you split that with the JSN teams, right? So he originally would have been like something like 40-35% or something like that owned. There were a couple. We can end with this because there were a couple guys who I ended up being shocked, like guys who I did not consider who were like pretty high owned.
Well, I mean, this second biggest train team or the third biggest train team was a Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers stack in cash, which is like, that's crazy to me that's the third highest owned train.
So these were the plays that I did not consider for a second. Wandale, 20%, Zay Flowers, 16%, Curtis Samuel at 9%. And then how did people get on Keenan Allen in cash? What were the Keenan? I guess Keenan Allen teams were
the better quarterback.
They were swap teams that didn't do Kelsey. They were swap teams that did like, they got up to Herbert.
Yeah. Keenan was a good play.
Keenan was a good play. It was a weird salary.
It just was hard.
Being that close, I would have wanted Cup. Like,
yes. Yeah. I agree with that. I looked at a Keenan swap team for like half a second. And then I was like, actually, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, actually, we want the big boy. We want the big guy. We want Kelsey. Thank you, Travis Kelsey.
Guys, Taylor Swift there at a 3 p.m. game in Kansas City, and you thought dude wasn't going to ball out?
Lock.
Like, literal lock
city. Yeah, they even ran that little goal line shovel play to him where he nosedived backwards like an Olympic swimmer with his arms over his head. That was for Taylor. Like,
yeah, well, people thought that was a mistake. People thought that Andy Reid doesn't know who his audience is.
Andy Reid knows ball. You got to give it to the man.
Oh, dude, no, almost no one knows more ball than Andy Reid. Yeah, that is a bona fide fact. I don't really have any other thing. Anything yet. I'm kind of surprised Nate didn't somehow show up with Davante Adams after the week of him saying like I need the ball more. And
if it would have been Jimmy G week, I would have.
Yeah, yeah. Tyson Bajan says, don't replace me with Caleb Williams, brother.
By the way, just so everybody knows, Davis was trying to talk me into taking the Raiders in our Survivor pool week.
I was.
And I had to lay down the knowledge and text you who Bajan's father was. This is not a man who's going to lose to the Raiders.
I think had Jimmy Garoppolo started, I would have been more insistent on it. I would have said, we got to do it.
For sure.
We speaking of stone runouts, Buffalo losing in Seattle, just no doubting there. That was a good spot for us.
Easy game.
All right, guys, that should be good. Everyone, thanks for listening. We're getting out of here. We'll be back next week. Later.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.